we all know thousands of cops, right? You've trained with how many of them? How many of them have you seen that are really good? You probably see, you know, a small percentage that are really, really good. None of them learn that in the police academy. We know that. They're still teaching, pin the trigger to the rear, blah, all that stuff, and trigger reset. There's no way. There's no way you're going to shoot a bill drill in 1.5, 1.6 by doing what they taught you in the police academy. It's just impossible. You can't do it.
Hey guys, if you missed out on the last conference in Nashville, Tennessee, you don't want to miss out on the next one. It's April 28th through May 3rd, Orlando, Florida, the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. You made a mistake missing the last one. You don't want that to happen again on this one. 5 days of some of the best training you're ever going to experience packed into one event. We have an early bird special right now, $50 off. Use 24 early bird on our website, streetcop.com. Look for the conference. Click the link. Register today. If you want to get significantly better at this profession in 5 days, don't dare miss out on the 2024 Street Cop Conference.
11-1-10. Be a street cop. All right, welcome to the Street Cop Podcast. I'm Rich Bruno. I'm one of the instructors here teaching some firearms courses. Real good day today. Got Mike Shaw here in studio, and we got Jake and Ryan here via Zoom. So looking real forward to this one today. Mike, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Welcome, guys. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you for having us.
All right, hey, man, the way I want to just kick this off is I want to just have everybody introduce themselves. I mean, I'll go first so everybody can kind of get an idea of where we're going with this. So I want to talk about shooting, especially for law enforcement, when it comes to firearms training, what we do, what we don't do, what we should be doing, things like that. So for me, right, like I'm a cop in New Jersey, still active, 15 years, done a lot in my agency. I did, 8 years on our SWAT team, things like that. Been a firearms instructor for like 8 years. The way that this went was for me, I came off the SWAT team kind of a little bit arrogant, saying that I was a real good shooter. I was a real good shooter because I was surrounded by some real good dudes on that team who were amazing. So when I come off the team, start the whole street cop thing, and I started to really put myself out more and go to classes and start shooting a ton. And that's where I met Jake. Right? So Jake was an instructor in a class that I took a couple of years ago. And I watched him shoot a demonstration. And I remember looking at the people next to me going, did everybody just see what he just did? Was that real? How fast he was shooting, how aggressive he was shooting at 25 yards away, shooting at a target in 17 splits. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I'm like, I can't do that. And then the class starts and I'm standing next to Paul Costa and Paul shooting next to me and Joe Savio to my right. And I'm going, I'm out of my element here. Here I am 3 months ago thinking, coming off the team, oh man, I'm a good shooter. And I realized I was subpar at best. So it really motivated me in the last couple of years to really, really put forth the effort. Teaching people was always trying to teach them out of what they learned in the academy. But now it came to the point of, I need to up myself as a shooter, which will make me a better instructor as well, before I start to really get into this for what we're doing here. And that's why I surround myself with guys like these guys, Mike, Jake, and Ryan, and all these other guys I mentioned, right? I work super close with guys like Paul Costa and Joe Savio, guys like that. So that's where my shooting journey has taken me. I started shooting as a cop, and we would qualify twice a year, and there was never a range day. No training, no nothing. That's what it was. And if you could shoot a perfect score, you're the best shooter in your department, and nobody cared about anything else. That wasn't good enough for me. So here we are today, and here we are in the Street Cop Podcast talking about firearms training for law enforcement. So Mike in studio, why don't you just give us a quick intro?
I'll try to keep it a little bit shorter than that. My name's Mike Shaw. I've been a police officer for 13 years. I've done a little bit of everything from patrol to drug task force, narcotics, and all that good stuff. Kind of like Rich was saying, years ago, I thought I was a decent shooter because I would go to the range maybe once a month and never have a problem with the qual and always pass. And then I started surrounding myself with people that can actually shoot, and I was mind blown. So then I told myself, I'm going to start taking my training serious, because a qualification is not training, no matter how many people want to believe that. It's just a bare minimum standard to make sure you can stay certified, and that's it. So once I started seeing how subpar I actually was, I just decided I'm going to take as many classes as I can, surround myself with the best shooters around, and learn everything I can, and, you know, drop the ego and just, you know, continue to progress in my skill set with shooting. So that's kind of my idea about, you know, about the training. I just think that departments have a difficult time understanding what training actually means. So guys like us, I think, will make a world's difference, in my opinion, in changing the culture and training in police departments.
Jake?
So I'm Jake Hosovar, 27 years old, Bazooka Jake 71 on Instagram. So just kind of like to start off, like, law enforcement for 4 years, mostly part-time work. I'm like, you know, a lot of you guys here, you're all full-time cops. I'm kind of like the baby here when it comes to experience and time in service. But and then I was in the Army National Guard for 6 years. On top of that, as a combat engineer, taught small arms, rifle and pistol while I was in as well. And then I've also been a firearms instructor for 4.5 years, where I met Rich, Mike, Ryan, all you guys. I also help own and run a drive-in theater with my family in Warren, Ohio. It's been in my family since 1950. It's a big deal for me. And I also just started my own media company called Redline Consulting, where we handle photo and video that's 2A related, so I can capture studs like Rich on the range. And then
you meant to say dud.
Dud. No, that you're stud. Have some confidence, man. But when it comes to the shooting path, I started off like super fuddy. I was that guy drawing with no round in the chamber, Israeli drawing, racking, and shooting. Like, that was me. And there are videos out there of me doing that. Not proud of that, but we all start somewhere. I was training with guys who were old school, and they were combat vets. So I'm like, oh, these guys know everything. Well, turns out just because you're a combat vet doesn't mean you're really an expert in shooting. You know, and I think a lot of us can agree here with that. So that was kind of like my basis. I started shooting competition, 3-gun, and then I also started taking classes. I started getting that elevated level of training, realizing that there is a higher level of training out there outside of departments than what I could find on YouTube. And just kind of started following that path ever since, and it's paid off. I've met great guys. I've enhanced my skill sets, and I've made other people better by doing it. So
great, man. What's up, Ryan?
Good morning. How you doing? I'm Ryan Walden. I'm a local Leo here in Michigan for a pretty big department. Been a police officer a little over 6 years. My training journey has been pretty short, honestly. Besides the basic 2 times a year qualifications we've had at the department, which is the bare minimum, I really haven't got into training heavily since that kicked off back in 2021. I did a class with Steve Fisher from Sentinel Concepts. Great guy. He really showed me, like, wow, I do suck. besides that, it's been everywhere since up. Started running red dots on the pistol since April of last year. So that's really been taken off. Numerous accomplishments with that. So that's a good thing. Constantly progressing up. I just started shooting USPSA this year at the beginning of the year, which has really helped me expose all my weaknesses and flaws that I have, and to show me that there's some really good shooters out there, and I'm pretty below average. Definitely eye-opening. Took numerous classes, a lot last year, a lot this year. Always trying to improve my skill set. A couple more classes left this year to wind down the year. So looking forward to things and the progression that I've made and that's to come.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of in that same mindset, taking as much as we can and competing when we can. I actually just signed up for a local match for tomorrow. So, But before we get into all that, I want to rewind this a little bit back and go let's see if we can go back down memory lane and talk about firearms training in the police academy. So I guess I'm the old guy here, so I'll go first. I went to the academy in 2004, and I remember it pretty well. There was nothing fast-paced about it. It was very slow. I don't remember them ever talking about, like, how to draw the gun from the holster properly. I don't remember them ever talking about how to grip the gun properly. Like, the basic fundamentals that were today, I have sessions after this today that I'm doing with people, and that's literally the first couple of things that we talk about. And you'll spend 5 days in the police academy and they won't talk about things like that at all. I still get to train some recruits here, which is nice, that come to me privately. And it's mind-boggling to me that the formulas are the same as they were back when I went through 2004. I'm not going to say all, because I know some guys here that actually have a say in things that happen in certain academies, and they've pushed change. But that's not everywhere. That's a small number, at least in this state, right? We're all from different states, so it's great that we could talk about how these things are. But here in New Jersey, there's not many academies that are pushing for change, pushing to have people shoot in a different way, performance-based ways, things like that, right? I'm hoping it changes at some point. Maybe other states are doing it better than we are. But so, like, hey, just share a couple memories, what you think about the academy. My favorite memory about firearms in the academy was I failed. I failed the first couple rounds through. Here you have to shoot 3 qualification courses back to back. Your scores have to meet a certain number before you can pass. Prior to taking those tests, I was actually shooting really good for the whole week. I didn't think I'd have an issue. I thought I was fine. And then this was the part that I 1,000% disagree with, was they got in your head on purpose. They literally, during firearms, treated you like it was during PT and, you know, talk shit to you. If you fail firearms, we're going to throw you out. We're going to throw you out. You're never going to be a cop. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. Listen, I like a little bit of pressure every now and then, but I wasn't really a younger kid in the academy, but there was young kids there. There was 18-year-old kids there. Yeah, I like it in PT and all that stuff. You want to yell at them, so be it. But teach them actually how to shoot the gun properly. Teach them proper fundamentals, which will actually set them up for success to actually pass the academy and then be able to train themselves more, take classes. I failed. I missed by 3 rounds. Took the weekend for remedial, which I'll always be super in debt and thankful to the agency that I worked for at the time. I was a 911 dispatcher full time. And the cops there that ran the firearms program took me under their wing that weekend, and I must have shot 10,000 rounds. And I went through on Monday, and I passed. I missed 1 round out of 180 rounds. So it was great. But that's my most memorable story about the academy, was I failed. And I think I failed, honestly, because it was more mental than anything else. It got in my head. And then you have one stupid malfunction and forget it. The whole thing was gone. It was off the rails. So anyway, Ryan, how about you go first on this one? Some memorable things about firearms training in the police academy, good or bad.
So I went through the academy back in 2017. So my department actually has their own academy for our department, which is nice. Our firearms portion was roughly 2.5-3 weeks, about a week of policies, all that stuff, the basics, a little bit of dry fire, but not much. And then we went outside and shot. We shot approximately about 1,000 rounds in the academy. And it really wasn't training driven. It was more shoot the qual for practice, shoot the qual again. Next person would come up, just shoot it again to try to just master that. They rarely had anything besides that, which is kind of a big downfall that I've seen and talked to numerous law enforcement that are close to me as well. I struggled in the academy as well. It was new to me. The instructors were yelling at you, treating like you were way below them. And our department has iron sights. And I know a lot of departments are switching to red dots now, which is a struggle for some people that never picked up a firearm before. I shot fairly okay. Back then we had 40 caliber handguns. Transitioned to 9 shortly after that, which was pretty nice. It definitely helped a lot of people because some people can't handle the recoil because they don't have the proper fundamentals. Our department barely went over the basics. We just had a level 2 holster just with a thumb guard. It's break retention, put the target, line your sights up, and shoot. Yeah. Very, very basic, instruction, which was kind of sad to me. That was pretty much it.
Seems to be the way, right? Jake, what about you? Yeah.
So we covered both rifle and pistol in the academy. When I went through, I kind of had the military under my belt at that point, and I was a firearms instructor for like a year. So I had a pretty good foundation when it, came to shooting in the academy. A lot of the people I went through definitely struggled with, and I tried to help them as I could. But I will say, like, our instructor, I kind of got a taste of having like a bad instructor and then also a phenomenal one. His name is Bob Paternini, and he was an FBI firearms instructor for like years. And these guys shot tens and thousands of rounds, when he was training recruits in the academy. He actually shot so much that he got lead poisoning. And he had like serious wrist issues, like cartilage and all that stuff. So, I mean, the guy was a shooter. I think what held him back, though, now looking back at it with a little bit of wisdom that I have, like, I think the state curriculum was holding him back, because I know for a fact that guy could shoot and that he is a book of knowledge. But you just in Ohio, you kind of have to be careful what you say personally, especially when it comes to curriculum, because you have to follow curriculum. And sometimes there's state auditors there, monitoring how the academy goes. So I could tell that he was kind of holding himself back on certain stuff, because the information being taught black and white in textbook, I mean, it's definitely like 90s. It struck me as like 90s Army doctrine, like that typical FUD stuff that we all know. Hear the reset, grip is 60-40, that kind of stuff. And I know he knew better than that information, but unfortunately he was kind of handcuffed when it came to that. In terms of like actually shooting, it was fun. I mean, I had a great experience. We had a little competition for Top Shot and everything. And I really paid a lot of attention to him as an instructor, because I was like, dude, I was young. Like, I was like, oh, is this guy a good shooter or what? So I wanted to know, and I learned a lot from him, and that he was not so big into red dots. He kind of thought they were for sissies who can't shoot, but the guy could punch out the 9 and 10 ring of a B8 target at 25 yards with iron sights and with wrist damaging and lead poisoning. Like, he was a complete savage. So, I mean, I had a pretty positive experience with firearms in the training, with firearms in the police academy. But I mean, it's not what made me the shooter I am. Like, I got some nuggets out of it, but if you stop, if you think the academy training is going to be good enough for you to carry on your firearms career through your firearms training through your career, I mean, you're obviously sadly mistaken. It has to keep going. I mean, it's literally just enough for you to kind of be proficient with the firearm, maybe 10 yards in, So that was kind of my experience, I guess. But
I'd be willing to bet that there's not one police officer in the country that shoots like you that would say he learned how to shoot like that from the academy. I'd be willing to make the bet.
Not that I've ever heard.
Listen, we all know thousands of cops, right? You've trained with how many of them? How many of them have you seen that are really good? You probably see, a small percentage that are really, really good. None of them learn that in the police academy. We know that. They're still teaching, pin the trigger to the rear, blah, all that stuff, and trigger reset. There's no way. There's no way you're going to shoot a bill drill in 1.5, 1.6 by doing what they taught you in the police academy. It's just impossible. You can't do it.
And then also for reference, I went through in 2019, and obviously the same stuff was being taught that you guys, Rich, and Ryan were both taught. So, nothing's changed.
real quick, going back to what Jake was saying, as far as skill sets in the academy, I think academies are really only getting you to be proficient at the bare minimum standard. That's it.
True.
That is all it's good for. I went to the academy in 2009, and I guess I did okay, but I didn't understand what training was. I didn't understand what good fundamentals were. It's just not something that was taught. Like you said earlier, there was no discussion on proper grip, stance, sight alignment, grip, you know, just all the fundamentals that make you a good shooter. It's just not really something that was talked about.
Take a recruit that graduates tomorrow and put them into a local USPSA match. Watch what happens.
Yeah, it would be.
I'm not even talking about where they're going to finish. Just watch the disaster of what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The weapon handling, the safety part of it. It's good. I guarantee they get DQ'd. Most likely they get DQ'd, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
I don't care. I've seen so many recruits come out, myself included. You're not proficient. No, everyone thinks, oh, hey, my neighbor's a cop. He taught me how to shoot. And when I hear that and someone signing up for one of my classes, I go, okay, this is a day one shooter, somebody that knows nothing. They have no fundamentals and nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate to say it that way, but that's typically the way it is.
And more importantly, you're not safe. And these guys are expected to go out in the street clearing buildings and actually getting their gun out. They're muzzled. I mean, it's going to happen in real situations. Guys are going to get muzzled, but obviously we want to mitigate that. But these guys are going out with, you know, firearms that are loaded and pointing them at each other by accident. And, you know, the safety aspect of it is just something that's not really taught. They don't really understand what to do with their muzzle. They didn't teach any rifle when I went to the academy. It was just pistol and shotgun.
Pistol, shotgun.
And that was it.
Yeah. And then just kind of like to reiterate, like, Rich, if I'm not speaking for you, by all means say something, but I think what we're trying to say is, like, it's okay to not know anything when you get out of the academy. You just got to stay on the path. Like, we're not ripping on recruits, but, like,
just stay on the path.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying
that's a great point. That's a great point, Jake, because I don't want people to think that we're ripping on recruits, but they don't understand what real training is.
Yeah.
And we want them to understand what training is and how to progress their skill set and how to get better, where to seek that training out. That I think that's really,
if I'm shitting on anybody, my goal, it's for me, you know, it's who makes the curriculum and who made it 50 years ago. That's never changed. Look, I get it. 50 years ago, it was what it was. Today's world is different, right? Everything about it is different. We know it to be different because of competitions and things like that.
Yep.
Listen, everyone, there's 100 tactical guys out there listening right now that'll say, oh, what are they going to say? USPSA, it's a competition. You know where the targets are, and that shit will get you killed in the streets or whatever they say. Right? Go out there and shoot one match and watch what happens.
I've learned more from competition shooters than anybody, period.
A thousand percent. Listen, as soon as I dipped my toe into shooting competitions, the first thing I did was I called Sam Callahan from mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. Shout out to Sam. He just got his GM card. I said, if I'm even going to think about doing this, I want somebody to show me the correct way. Then I took a course with Nick Young from VLOX. And then we got some other guys coming to Jersey soon to do some stuff, because I've only shot a handful of matches and I did okay, but if I'm going to do it, I want to do it the right way. And I can't compete with guys like Jake, who are practicing for that. It's just not in the card. So, and again, going back to the academy, we're not shitting on the recruits by any means, but what we are saying is, like, hey, when you come out of there, you should seek more, right? You should be working out more, going to jujitsu, doing all these things, learning case. Yes. Everything that we've ever said. But firearms is a part of that too.
Yeah, and definitely seek training outside of your agency. I'm sure we'll get into that, unfortunately, your agency is not going to train you the way that you want to be trained. I've seen maybe one or two from all of the police officers that I have ever met along the way where their department actually provides any training they sign up for. It gets approved. I mean, budgets, manpower, it's just not something that can happen. So it's just a profession where you got to seek that training on your own if you're serious about getting better and being safer and staying alive and going home.
Yep. And that's literally something that I was going to bring up at some point too, is, you know, department training or lack of it. I don't know many agencies. I do know some though. I do know some that have amazing, amazing leadership. Amazing. I have two police chiefs that shoot with me on a regular basis. Two of them. You should imagine what they're doing for their people. Mm-hmm. They say yes to everything. I mean, within reason, obviously. The biggest thing there is they are setting the example for their people. They pay out of their pockets to go to training on their days off, to get better, to set that example. On top of wanting to be a better shooter, because they're gun professionals who carry a gun for a living to protect other people. So that's why they do that. So there's agencies like those. They're smaller agencies, so it's a little easier. I couldn't imagine these 200. I work in a 20-man department. I couldn't imagine working in a 200-man department and trying to actually get them to pay for training or actually train you more. It's just not going to happen. So that being said, right, training in your department, lack of it or not, what have you guys been seeing? Mike, you can go first. Like, what do you see in Pennsylvania? Are there agencies that are like all for training, or are there, like you said, budget issues, manpower, things like that?
Well, I'm pretty fortunate now with my new agency. My previous agency was closer to 170 officers, and I think in the last several years, they haven't sent one patrolman to any training at all. Any training I ever put in for was denied, whether it was budgets or staffing or whatever excuse you can think of. There was just no training there, and qual days were just that. It was a qualification. It's not training. They would try to put something on, but that's twice a year. If that's all that you're shooting, you're going to have a really hard time. So I'm pretty fortunate now because, you know, they do a pretty good job with training, and my chief actually cares to, you know, to send us to classes. But for the most part, everywhere that I've seen in Pennsylvania is just not good, to put it in nicer terms, especially like in the Lehigh Valley. I don't think they understand what training really means. Especially like in the fitness aspect, the shooting, there's some decent shooters, you know, in the Lehigh Valley where I live. But as far as the agency goes, they don't do a good job training at all. Like even just classes like street cop training, you know, set aside firearms and fitness or whatever, but let's talk case law, search and seizure and other things. You know, they're still using classes that were put on 15 years ago. You know, I'm sure everyone still gets those faxes with that that McCarthy street crimes training that's been going around for since I started. We've been getting those same faxes for that class. But, you know, I just don't think that they understand what quality training really is. And then they use the excuse of manpower and budgets and everything else. So trying to figure out how to connect with individual officers to just flip that switch to get them to understand why they need to train on their own and why that's important. Like, yeah, I will never disagree with a cop that the department should pay for it. You should never have to do it on your own time. But unfortunately, that's just not reality. So my goal has always been, well, how do I reach these guys and girls and get them to understand that, to get that switch to flip in their head, to get them to want to train? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I think discussions like this is only going to help.
I agree. Jake, what do you got?
So, I mean, for the most part, my department training has really just been like the quals, either once a year or twice a year. Occasionally, about once a year, we'll do something like more high speed, like BCQB, or, you know, maybe just like a good 400 or 500 round range session. You know, that being said, like, that's just been my experience. I do want to mention, like, there are a lot of departments in Ohio who are doing the right thing, putting their guys through a lot of training. And unfortunately, everything in law enforcement trickles from the top down. The chief has the final say, and, if he wants guys shooting X rounds per month, or if he wants to fund and send guys off to training that's not state related. I know that's a big topic that I've heard Brass talk about is this training state certified? That is unfortunately something that kind of plagues law enforcement. And I think that's why a lot of upper tier or brass or chiefs or lieutenants are hesitant to send guys off, because
that's so true.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we've all heard that, and it's unfortunate because like everyone in this podcast knows right now that a certification doesn't mean shit. A certification doesn't mean you're a good shooter, and it doesn't mean that you're an instructor. It's a really, you're shorting a lot of guys on quality training when that's the thought process. But, in my experience as well, the firearms instructor always wants guys to go out there and train. And he's like, hey man, my door's always open. Let's go send some rounds. Like whether it's just 100 or 200, it's at least consistency, right? Cause consistency can help with shooting. But unfortunately it's always like budget cuts, or they don't want to pull guys from the road to do that. That's been kind of like the theme the last 3 years because of COVID. And as you guys are well aware of, recruiting numbers are insanely down.
Yeah.
So I get it, man, but it is unfortunate.
There's one thing I want to add into that, and you both hit on it, was the administrators that sign off on these things. They're the ones that have the final say. I have some experience recently with an administrator, not with my department, who didn't want to send guys to a firearms course because he didn't know who the instructor was.
Oh, yeah.
So my question to him was, what have you done in the shooting world to know who that guy is? Now, that guy is really good at some things that he does. And if he told me something about a crash investigation, I'd go, oh, shit, he knows exactly what he's talking about because I know nothing about it. But instead of reaching out to guys that actually know, especially in this area, he wouldn't send his people to this course because he didn't know the instructor. You know who the instructor was? Joe Savio. Ryan's probably the only guy that doesn't know Joe. Joe puts on his courses through his own company. And if you haven't trained with him, the guy's amazing.
Yeah.
He's a civilian, right? We're all cops, right?
Yeah.
Use the term civilian. I hate that. But he's not law enforcement. He's not military. The guy was a drummer. If you haven't seen him shoot,
incredible shooter, great instructor.
It's humbling to stand next to a guy like that who doesn't have our backgrounds, military, law enforcement. It's humbling. So to hit on both of what you said was they wouldn't send their guy to that class because they didn't know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're punishing your people because you don't know. Well, how about do some research and find out? But again, same thing, state certifications and things like that. It's tough. It's tough to navigate through that stuff. So mm-hmm. Ryan, what about you, man?
So
department
for me,
training. How, is it good? Is it bad? Is it non-existent?
So yeah. So right now it's kind of non-existent, but it's on the upward path. We got a newer chief. He's been with us a few years. So he's really pushing that for the guys, which I like to see, because unfortunately changes are going to happen until something bad happens. And we had that, which it's sad to see. But now the training aspect is being pushed a little more. But still, the hoops I have to go through to get training approved, it's kind of sad. Like one of my trainings, it wasn't specific for my job. I'm in a special unit or whatnot. It wasn't specific for my unit, so they're like, oh, you can't go because you're not a member of SRT or SWAT. I was like, okay, so I'm going to need these 4 days off. I'm going to be going to training. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
stuff like that. I'm about at a 75% rate of getting training approved. They'll sign me out for the day. Sometimes I'll get ammo, which is nice. But that's all outside training. Prior to COVID, we had a few companies would come in to do different trainings. Our SRT would put on some advanced pistol and rifle training, which those classes were maybe once or twice a year. And if you weren't like in a task force or high up, you weren't going to get into those trainings. Man. And those fill up almost immediately. By the time you're just typing the paper, you're like, oh, training's full. Like, yeah, pretty sad. But I've been fortunate enough because I'm in the unit, and my supervisors, they don't care. They'll let me apply to any training I want to go, take time off to go to better myself, and it's a better unit as well. So I can spread that knowledge on, which is very nice.
It's just crazy to me that agencies, it's like they would almost rather pay the settlement in a lawsuit if something bad happens than pay, I don't know, a $5,000 training bill or something like that for their people, 10 grand, whatever. But they'd be willing to pay, you know, $1 million settlement or something like that. It's crazy to me, but.
I think Ryan brought up a really good point that's 100% going to come up later in regards to, well, if you're not SWAT or if you're not a task force, then why do you need that training?
Oh, it's coming up, all right. Because yeah, I can tell you right now, I did 8 years on a regional SWAT team. And so the way our regional team here is made up of, figured there's 26 agencies in the county I work in. And I think 21 or 20 agencies were represented on that team. The good thing was everybody, all the members of that team basically sucked up as much training as possible, but we would bring it to our departments. So when we started training with, you know, the guys from Hades Consulting, Charlie and Zach, learning everything there is to know about CQB for 7 years, every time we did active shooter training in our department, which we're about to schedule for this year, is I still bring those SWAT team guys down to help do all that stuff. The guys that are doing it the most and being trained by the best people in the world for it. But regular cops should be going to that 5-day class with Charlie and Zach about just how to clear a building properly. You know what I mean? Things like that. So yeah, the guys on the SWAT teams get it all. And I get it too. You have to be more advanced because that's who they call when the shit hits the fan. I get it. But the patrol cops are the first ones on scene all the time. They're the ones that should be getting more training, in my opinion. So, I mean, obviously SWAT teams need all that training. Trust me, we needed it, but patrol cops should be getting it. So yeah, you're right, Jake. It was going to come up, and it's a great point that Ryan brings up because I don't think that's not the case anywhere. It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
Especially here, the only full-time, well, there's one or two counties in New Jersey now that have some full-time SWAT guys, but besides the state police teams unit, that's the only full-time team in New Jersey. So, and they do a million things. So you can't even just think about stuff like that. So, next topic, and this is going to be a great one. Qualifications. All right. So let's go with Michigan first. Let's talk about Michigan's bare minimum qualification. It's funny because I looked it up because I knew we were going to talk about it, and I saw it, and it just reminds me of all the other states, you know?
Yeah, so it's pretty much non-existent. I mean, it's pretty sad, and my department really pushes it. The range days are pretty much like a day off for us. That's how lax it is. It's pretty sad. Which, when in all seriousness, that should be your number one priority, because you're carrying a firearm, which you have the capability of taking someone's life to protect yours or others' lives, which it should be at the top of our priorities, and it's not. So our qualifications, I believe it's just short of 50 rounds. You shoot a 15-yard line, 6 rounds, move up to the 7-yard line. I believe it's 7 rounds, stationary.
But what's the time? So at 15 yards, what's the time you have to shoot those rounds?
There really is no time. I think they said it's like a minute. It's pretty sad. Yeah.
Holy. Damn. I didn't even see that part when I looked it up, but in New Jersey, it's 4 rounds at the 25 yard line in 30 seconds.
Oh, wow. Yeah. The time is very laxed. As long as you get your shots off, you're not super long time. You'll pass. Then it all has to be within the scoring rings, within the 3-ring, anything outside of the scoring zone, you'll fail. Like arm shots or leg shots, you'll fail.
I mean, listen, we're all going to wind up saying the same things, but I'm just going to say it now, is if you look at people that have never shot guns before that go into the academy and they're able to pass, it just should just show you that the qualifications are not, they're the bare minimum. They are just liability driven to say, The state set this 80% minimum. Here it is, and our officers met it. For 30 years, they could hit 80% and they're fine. It's crazy to me. It's crazy to me. Jake, what about in Ohio? How's the qual there?
Man. All right. So for, you know, our department, it's generally like qual, get on the road, or qual, go home. I always try to stay after and, you know, shoot with guys just because it's fun, but and help them, obviously. But the course of fire in Ohio is a bit rough. I actually printed it off for you guys. I do genuinely want to say before I go into this, like I do want to know why the standards are like this. And I do genuinely want to know why they're so lax, because I don't know. There's no write-ups or anything like that on Google that I could find. But you guys are going to laugh at this, the first one. So it's 4 feet, 3 rounds in under 5 seconds. So
4 feet.
I mean, you could reach out and touch something at that distance. Well, you got 5 seconds.
Maybe you guys could.
Yeah, I don't know if I have T-Rex arms. I don't know if
I can. I mean, his arms are huge, but they're not that long. So,
and then let's see, it goes back to 9 feet, 2 rounds in the preferred area. And so it's 2 to the chest, 1 to the head. You have 6 seconds to do that. And then 12 feet, one-handed shooting. 4 rounds in the preferred area, dominant hand only. You have 8 seconds to do that. And I believe that you start with gun in hand on that. No, I'm sorry. You do draw for that. And then you do non-dominant for 7 seconds. And then 20 feet, you have a 1 reload 2. Three rounds total, 1 reload 2. 12 seconds. Mm. 12 seconds to do that. And that is from 20 feet. So let's see here.
I don't usually do math in public, but that is just shy of 7 yards.
Yeah. I mean, it's atrocious. I mean, you could blindfold yourself and pass. So then it's 3 rounds at 30 feet. You have 8 seconds to do that. And then 50 feet is the farthest our qual goes, which doing math while a live podcast is dangerous. I don't even think that's 20 yards.
Nope.
So
no, because 15 yards is 45 feet. I know that.
Yeah. So it's pretty bad. And that's only 2 rounds fired in the preferred area, which is 8 seconds. And it's just kind of like for.
I use a converter every time I do that.
We're trying to do the math here. Jake, you know, I just tried to help my fourth grader last night do his math. And I was like, yeah. So yeah.
Here we but are. Our qual is 50 feet. That's all it goes back to. And that is on like a giant humanoid sized target with kind of like a little oval in the middle. So, I mean, and I've seen people fail it who have big tops for a while.
What's passing? Yeah, 80%?
Passing, I think it's 30 rounds total. Or, I'm sorry.
Yeah, ours goes by percentage. You have to get minimum of 80%.
So
regardless, there's a 60 round course that department shoot here, or 50. It's the same exact course, just a few rounds less, 10 okay. rounds less, so but the same yard lines and everything.
Yeah, it's you have to get 20 out of 25. So anything below that's failing.
Okay.
Yeah, because 80%. No, I'm not doing that math on podcasts, no. But
nope. Yeah, edit out my bad math number.
Yeah. but yeah, it's pretty bad. You know, I don't want to just outright shit on it. I genuinely want to know why it's like this. And I think it's kind of important for departments to obviously do this qual to cover themselves legally. And I think that they should also have a department standard as well.
Agreed.
I'm not sure how that would play out for them legally or whatever, but I feel like holding officers to a higher level of training and a higher level of accountability can never be a bad thing.
Hey guys, follow us on all social media platforms to include Instagram, Twitter, Facebook group. We have so much information going out every single day, and we don't want you to miss out on any of that stuff. So check it out. Go give us a follow.
I'm 1,000% in agreement with that. You know what I started doing in my department? So I'm the senior firearms instructor in my department. So when we run quals now, I send out a department email to everybody with everybody's scores in it.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Listen, if I can't, I'm not trying to shit on people. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But if you're at the bottom every single time, two things in my mind are going to happen. you're either going to want to get better because you're embarrassed, or you're just going to show everybody that you're a lazy piece of shit who doesn't care. And you're going to be a lazy piece of shit for the rest of your career that doesn't care that they can shoot to save their life on a qual that's easy.
Have you found that actually helped improve some people?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I have an unwritten rule in my department. I mean, I'm on the range three, four days a week. If you want to come to the range with me, you're welcome to come any day I'm out there. I'll even give you ammo for free. How many officers out of 20 think took me up on that?
Zero.
Three.
Oh, all right. It's more than I thought.
And they're new, and they're all brand new. They're all they're all cops less than a year. So that actually that's a positive in my mind. Yeah. I'm not expecting the guy that's on 20 years to come, but yeah, it's crazy. Qual, yeah. What about PA's qual?
So PA is actually pretty similar to Ohio. I don't even remember it verbatim, even though I've been doing the qual for 13 years, because I just do not care at all. It is an absolute dumpster fire of a qual. It is too easy. It's mind-boggling. Almost exactly set up like the one in Ohio. I think at 7 yards, we do a barricade drill where you do two standing, then kneeling, then standing, then kneeling on each side of the barricade. And I forget the exact time, but it is a lot of time. The four rounds or five rounds that we do at 25 yards is 60 seconds. I mean, the time limits are just absurd. I don't understand either. Like Jake was talking about, you know, he truly wants to know why the standards are the way they are. I've been trying to figure that out for years. I think it's because if they raise the standards, especially now with the recruiting, who are they going to hire?
Yeah.
There would be, you know, a few percent of recruits that could actually meet the fitness and the shooting and the other standards that we would like to see.
Well, hold on. I kind of disagree with that. If you fix the firearms training in the police academy, then you can make the standard harder, right?
Yeah.
So imagine, let's use Jake, right? Jake is in charge of the firearms training in the police academy in Ohio, and he sets the curriculum and he picks the instructors that are going to do the curriculum properly and teach everything properly to actually make these recruits shooters. You can make the standard higher. You can make it harder. You'll lose the top though, right? You'll lose. If I changed my qual in my department, let's just say, like Jake said before, there should be a state standard and a department standard. If I implemented a department standard in my department today, and I made it where you had to shoot 95%, or fuck it, 90%, I have people that are not going to hit that. They're not going to practice. They're not going to get better. They're going to fail. Now, if you say to them, you fail and you lose your job and you lose everything, what's going to happen? They're either going to then scramble to get better. Then they're going to be called, Mike, I need help, man. You got to train me. I got to get better. I'm going to lose my job. Or they're just going to go, fuck it. I guess I'm not going to be a cop anymore. Like, I truly believe that that's what would happen. So I think you guys are right. But if we fix it in the academy, at the academy level, and make it harder, again, with proper fundamentals training, you can make the standard harder.
That's what I would like to see.
It's never going
to
happen.
That's what I would prefer to see, but I just know that it's never going to happen.
The change is too difficult. Yeah. At a state level, I think that change is tough.
Yeah,
but I think you could do it though.
Uh-huh. At minimum, you know, state level for academies, it's never going to happen. Never going to happen.
Department
standards, however, that is something that could be changed.
I don't know of many agencies here that have their own standard. The town that I live in, they have their own standard. They actually use a modified Q target where it's more of like a, you know, the upper portion of the A zone, like the belly part of the target doesn't count. And you have to shoot 90%, or I think it's 90% as opposed to 80, or they get rid of you. But you know that going in. If you're going to get a job in that department, you know you must qualify with a handgun. You must qualify with a rifle. If you can't with either, they send you packing. But you know that going in. But that's a department that has purposely changed their firearms training over the years. I know a bunch of the guys on their firearm staff, and they're great. So it's, I don't know if that's, maybe that's the example. But the problem is you have bosses that will never do it.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
I think this standard or that type of training style derives from the military, because that's exactly kind of how it works in the military. Like you have a lower standard in basic training, and then you get a generalization of training. And then when they send you off to your unit, they tell you, I mean, my drill instructors told us, hey, your unit's going to teach you all these refined skills that you'll need. You're not going to learn that here, you know? And I think that's where a lot of the academy stuff kind of comes into play. You know, they think that maybe the department's going to give them that elevated level of training, but really in reality, everybody's so short on guys. All these cops are working 40, 50 plus hours a week. Like, nobody's got time to step on the range and refine that, in their defense, you know? And then again, too, it boils down to how bad you want it, but you know.
It's truth. All right. So, well, we talked about the police academy. Now let's talk about firearms instructor school. So I went to firearms instructor school in the state of New Jersey in 2014, I believe, or 2015. And I was so disappointed at the end of the week, because I left there with exactly what I went in with. I don't know if everybody has that same experience. I know here they pretty much do. That needs to change too. Because once you start putting out calibers of instructors that know what they're doing, actually really understand it, and put a ton of time into it. I mean, listen, I'm saying this not to make it sound like, you know, I'm speaking of myself, but I put so many hours a week into this. It never stops. I mean, I'm listening to podcasts at work about shooting and about how to be a better instructor and how to do. I mean, I dedicate my life to this stuff. You know, you dedicate more time to fitness and working out and health, or everybody's got their thing. But going back to that firearms instructor school, I'll never forget how they had it going. Was, all right, Mike, you're going to shoot at the target. And I want you to just keep shooting at the target. And I'm supposed to stand behind you. And when you do something wrong, tell you what your mistake was. But they want you to try to replicate the mistakes. Try to do this. Instead of it just letting it happen like organically, because nobody was perfect anyway. I just didn't feel like they taught you how to be an instructor. And that's my experience. Same as when I went to rifle instructor school. It was the same exact thing. That's a whole nother story for a whole nother podcast about that class. But what about you guys that are actual firearms instructors for their agencies? Like, what'd you experience, or what do you hear people talk about when it comes to that?
So I have not been to the instructor school for Ohio. I'm going in March for my department, or I'm sorry, in spring next year. But I mean, there's a couple obvious things to talk about. No one's going to be a teacher in 1 week. The same way that, you know, people who study education all through college go then do a grade school, high school, or college to teach after. And they'll be the first ones to tell you that they're a little bit rocky their first few years. And I mean, quite frankly, like you said, they probably have to hammer out so much curriculum in a 1 week time. I know for Ohio, it's 1 week. Was it 1 week for you, Rich?
Yeah, it was 5 days.
Yeah. I mean, you, just like you can't learn CQB in a day, you're not going to learn how to teach in 5 days, you know, or you can't even learn CQB in 5 days, but you can't learn to teach in 5 days either. They're probably covering all the state curriculums and all the state requirements you have to meet to certify officers. You know, so your actual time spent learning to shoot and learn to teach people is going to be through experience. It's going to be through exposing people to on the range. They're exposing them to their faults and showing them how to correct it. I'm a huge believer. I love to hammer on the fact that, like, you don't need a certification to teach. You don't. And there are plenty of instructors in the field that firearms that we all know outside of law enforcement, outside the military, who don't have a piece of paper that say that they're an instructor.
Yeah, and most of the ones I know just have the basic NRA, which is a weekend. But that goes to prove to your point right there, is that anybody can go get an NRA instructor cert and be an instructor.
Yeah.
But doesn't make you a coach. It doesn't make you a teacher. Yeah. We get that part of it. And that most of that paperwork is for liability anyway, just to have something. But you're right. So in the police department, it's 5 days. NRA, it's what? The weekend, 2 days?
I thought it was 2 days. Yeah.
16 hours to go to go get that. And I mean, all you have to do is barely shoot anything. I haven't been through it, so I don't know, but from what I've been told, it's not very difficult. The problem with law enforcement is the day you graduate instructor school, you only know what you know right then and there. If you do nothing to better yourself or advance and make yourself a better instructor, then this is what I've seen over the years, is you have the guys that are standing on the line with a whistle or a timer going from the holster, fire 4 rounds in 30 seconds and return to the holster. Beep, they do that. There's no teaching involved in it. All they are is just calling the line. And how do I was there for the first year of me being a firearms instructor. All I did was call the line. I would qualify with one of the other guys and that would be it. But that was it. There was nothing else. So when someone was doing something wrong, here's the point that I'm getting at. When somebody would do something wrong, it was my job to fix them. And had I not, for the first year, I didn't have much other experience besides being with the SWAT team. So like some really good instructors on that team. So I kind of picked up on a lot of things. But what they tell you in firearms instructor school, there's only three mistakes that a shooter makes. Too little, too much finger on the trigger, slapping the trigger, and anticipation. Those are the only three things I was ever told as an instructor people do wrong.
Grip.
Grip is the only grip. It's, if you just fix their grip, all of that shit is non-existent. Yep. So when I do my classes now, and especially with cops, hey, what's the common mistakes? We're all right-handed shooters here. Okay, good. When you're shooting low and left, why? And those are the only three answers you get from cops.
It's the gun. The barrel's a little bit off. Yeah.
It's this, it's that, it's the sights, it's the gun. Everyone says the same thing. Too little, too much finger, slapping the trigger, anticipation. It's okay. Go, well, I think all of that is complete bullshit and none of that's real. And they all look at me and they're going, shit, did we just waste money coming to this class? This guy has no idea what the fuck he's talking about. And I don't want to give away too much, but the first part of the drill is, hey, I pick somebody out, come up here, point your gun at the target, and I don't say nothing about grip. Their grip usually sucks. It's loose as shit in their hand, and I won't even tell them I'm doing it. They'll be pointing at the target, and I'll just slap the trigger for it, and they're like, oh, shit. Go, the rounds go low left or wherever it goes. Then I actually tell him how to fix his grip and then do it, and you'll see him shooting rounds in a little circle at 5 yards away. And they all look at each other and they're going, oh my God. So if our grip is good, pretty much, listen, obviously there's more to it, the visual part of it, but it's just amazing that if they spent an hour, 2 hours in the police academy, in instructor school, fixing people's grips, just that basic fundamental, we wouldn't have half the problems that we have.
Yep.
And Jake, do you agree? Ryan, do you agree?
I was going to piggyback off what you said. So, I mean, you feel like experience and being a practitioner helped you way over more than just going to school for 5 days or a certificate.
Shooting next to you for 5 minutes. No, seriously, like I'm not, no reason to kiss your ass, but shooting next to you for 5 minutes. I was like, what the hell is this guy doing? And I don't know if you remember, it was a couple of years ago. I said, Jake, Jesus Christ, what the hell are you doing with that rifle that you can shoot that thing that fast? And you were like, I don't know. I'm just holding it like this. I was like, shit, no one told me to hold a rifle like that. I've been on the damn SWAT team for 8 years. No one told me to hold it that way. No one told me to do this. How is it in 3 minutes he made me a better rifle shooter in 3 minutes? Because he's a practitioner. He spent hours and hours doing it himself and figuring out the way. And in 3 minutes, he made me a better rifle shooter. I was a pretty okay rifle, pretty okay. At the end of that day, I was like, oh my God, I can rip this thing right now way faster than I ever could.
Yeah, that's definitely something I want to hammer on. Oh, I'm sorry, Ryan, go ahead.
No, because of experience. So I was going to say, I'm pointing at you on the screen because of experience, like you said about being a practitioner.
Yeah, like that's something I really want to hammer on, especially with cops and military guys, they get really certification chased, really state certification based. And it drives me nuts, man, because if you don't know how to shoot, but you have a certificate that says you can teach people, guess what? You're not going to teach very many people. And at the end of the day, you still can't shoot and you still can't teach. So, you know, experience in being a practitioner is the gateway to being an instructor. And obviously a ton of other things, you know, but God, that is something that is like a huge tick point for me, man.
So, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I used to be an AI, like an assistant instructor for some people around here in the law enforcement world. And the things I saw from instructors was just crazy. I'm not talking about the guy who ran the class, but like there would be other AIs there for range safety. You know, you'd have 20 people in the class, you know, there'd be three or four instructors there. At lunchtime, I would eat really, really fast and then go on the range and I would shoot. And nobody else was out there shooting with me. And then by 10 minutes later, you see people are like, what is he doing out there? Now you have some of the students out there shooting, but you know who was never out there shooting with me? The other instructors.
Yeah.
On the third day of the class, excuse me, I was just plinking steel at 50 yards. And one of the assistant instructors walked up to me and he goes, I'm shooting a handgun at the time with iron sights. He walks up and he goes, are you shooting a handgun at 50 yards and you're hitting that steel? And I went, yeah. He's like, I've never shot a pistol at 50 yards before. And he's a firearms instructor. I was like, damn, okay. Well, this is what I'm doing.
As far as firearms instructors for departments go, how many instructors have you guys seen personally at qual or training for your department demo a drill?
Zero.
This has always been something that I never understood. It's always been, like Rich said earlier, calling the line. That's the only thing I have ever seen at any. I've worked at three agencies now and never saw a firearms instructor demo a drill. I don't know of any of my friends' agencies that have had instructors demo a drill. It's strange. It's just something that doesn't happen.
But why though?
Because they're not confident in their skill set. They don't want to be embarrassed. I think it's a whole mix of things.
It's the negative ego is what that is. I agree.
They don't want their title to be tested.
Agreed. Now I'll tell you right now, 2015, whatever, 15, the first year as an instructor, I never demoed anything. Well, actually, I should say even till recently, never demoed anything. You want to know why? Because we didn't shoot drills. We shot qualifications and we went home because they'd only give you 3 hours and I have to qualify 15 guys with their duty gun, off-duty gun, rifle, shotguns in 3 hours. So there was no other training. When we do things now, sure, I demo things, but I also have other people demo things too. Guys that also just say, hey, all right, watch him do this, whatever the case may be. That was the one thing that, well, plenty of things that I took away from being with Jake on the range, but with those guys, they would step up in front of everybody and they would either eat shit in front of everybody or they would smoke it in front of everybody. And either way, so be it. Because that's the one part about it is just leave the ego at the door, man. I miss just as much as anybody else does. That's why when people are like, oh, you missed. And I go, yeah, bro, who doesn't miss? Who cares? Like, that's something that's huge for me now. I don't care. Every one of my classes, I step up there or I have whoever's helping me in the class step up there. We don't care. We're humans like everybody else. But not only is it demoing the drill, in my opinion, and if you guys disagree, but I demo the drill like five different times. Like I'll demo whatever. Let's say we're going to shoot a build drill. I'll demo it at 60% speed. I'll do it again at 60% speed, but I'm also trying to push mistakes while I want them to see the mistakes live as I do it. And I've gotten pretty good at replicating mistakes. It's hard sometimes, but then I do it at 80%, 90%. And then the last one I'll go at 100%. That way they can see the difference of, like, you know, what's good, what's really good, what's acceptable. and trying to pay attention, because I try to push people to be able to see mistakes in themselves and others. But it's not just demoing the drill, because if I walk up and demo a build drill in 1.7, you're just like, this guy's showing off. Look at him. He's an asshole. And I holster my gun. I walk off the line. I'm like, go ahead. Now you do it.
Exactly like that.
Exactly like that. Right. So I try to demo it to where, like, I'll get a shit grip out of the holster and I'll have a terrible grip on the gun and I'll still send it. And I'll shoot all A's. It may not be in a great time, but I try to do that to where this is what I see as the common things that happen when you're going really fast. This is what's happening. So I try to demo it in five different variations at times, if we, you know, depending on what we're doing, to show them what the mistakes will be and the mistakes that I make to this day. So, I mean, I know, Jake, I've seen you on the line 100 times. I mean, Jake was there for one of my best moments on the range when I ate shit and face planted with a rifle. And there was like 20 people in the class where I fell with the rifle. It would have been easy to flag everybody.
Is there a video of this?
It's on my Instagram. I posted it.
Yeah, I think actually there is.
please send it to me later.
It's on my Instagram.
I won't post it, I promise. Maybe.
Post it. I don't care.
I will say to kind of, and this is something we can definitely all agree on because we see it in the community a lot, is like everybody's kind of an instructor now in their own ways or in their own words and with their own companies. And so I think now is a more important time than ever to really understand, not just gravitate to somebody because they're an instructor, but gravitate to them because of the educational information that they're putting out to people. And Rich, you kind of hammered home where I was going at with this is like, dude, instructors don't demo stuff 5 times for people. Instructors sit behind the line and they blow the whistle or they tap the shot timer or whatever on their phone and let people run a course of fire and making sure somebody doesn't shoot themselves or shoots another person. That's what instructors do. Teaching, man, is running something 5 times, showing what's right, what's wrong, what's messed up, what's not, and then going down the line and refining people, which I know you do. You know, I've seen it. You know, that's teaching, dude. Like, that's what sets you apart or people like you apart from your generic training company or your generic instructor. And like, that is where the pavement meets the road, man. And I cannot hammer that enough. Like, that's genuine teaching. And that's what needs to be, you know, echoed through the community. And I mean, it's in a sense copied, you know? So I believe in that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. One or two more things and then we'll wrap this up. Sure. This was good. But so for training, right? Like, how often do you guys, we're just talking firearms. Like, how often do you guys shoot and train yourselves? Not train other people, train yourselves. Mike, how often do you shoot?
In a good month, I'm shooting twice a week.
Okay.
That's a good month. I mean, between kids and work and I'm still trying to make time for jiu-jitsu and everything else.
I hope my jiu-jitsu coach doesn't hear this because he's gonna kick my
ass. I know I haven't been there in like a month. I'm supposed to go tonight, so I'm pretty happy about it. But you know, I started a nonprofit and I own a business, so just trying to figure out how to make time for all that. But in a good month, I'll shoot twice a week.
Ryan, what about you?
So live fire, typically I try to shoot at least once a week, work on my weaknesses. Then I'll try to shoot at least one match a week, if not every other week, to see what my weaknesses are. Then I can hammer those throughout the week. Dry fire, I've been slacking on, but I'll definitely try to dry fire at least the night before a match, 2 days before a match, and then before I go to live fire, because I can definitely tell the difference. To just brush up on the basics of dry fire, then it applies to live fire.
You shoot one match a week?
Yeah, I try to shoot one match a week. I'm going to, where I live, is I got about 4 or 5 clubs within an hour.
Wow.
So which is nice. And I'm jealous. And shooting Matt. Yeah, I've really been hammering away at the USPSA, which is great for me. And it exposed a lot of things.
Oh my God.
It's never the same target array, never same stage. Has a variety of everything. Weak hand, offhand, unloaded starts, loaded starts.
My first USPSA match when I walked in, because my last name is Bruno, they were like, okay, first shooter up, Bruno. And all the guys were like, oh, he's never shot a match before. So the guy who was running the match comes over and he goes, are you a cop? I go, yeah. He goes, oh, Jesus Christ. He's like, he's like, listen, just try not to get disqualified today. And I went,
yeah.
What do you mean? He's like, oh, bro, cops are the worst. And I was with Paul Costa. I was with Rodney Logan. So, like, these fucking dudes are studs when shooting USPSA matches. So they were like, all right, just watch for a little bit. So I watch. And I was sure shit. I step up to the first stage. And the guy running the thing at the time, I won't say his name. He's like, he's a cop also. And he goes, technically you're DQ'd. I go, for what? He goes, I didn't actually tell you to load and make ready. He said, are you ready? And I went, yeah, I'm ready. And he goes, he's like, I didn't tell you to load and make ready. He goes, I was just asking if you were ready. I was like, fuck, damn, dude. He's like, technically you would be DQ'd for that. So they were right. I got my ass DQ'd. It was a bullshit local match. Yeah. It wasn't anything crazy.
Before it even started.
Yeah, before it even started. So. So yeah, man, like, dude, that was hysterical. But you know, I'm looking forward to doing more. Jake, what about you, man? How often are you shooting these days?
So like, I try to go minimum once a week. And just like everybody here, we all got jobs, we got family. I mean, it's hard to go like three. I'd love to go 3 to 4 times a week. It's just not practical from a financial standpoint and from a time standpoint. Once a week, I generally go to. I'm part of a private club. I either go there, hammer out a good like 3 to 4 or 5 hour range session, or I will go to Wednesday nights. The club near me has a Wednesday night steel shoots, and dude, they are a goddamn hoot. I love doing that. It's like 5 or 6 stages set up, all steel, like USPSA style kind of match. Ryan, you probably know what I'm talking about. And dude, you just turn and burn, man. It's a great time. And you're kind of putting yourself out there, exposing yourself to you know, a little bit of competition, the nerves are on, you're really putting your fundamentals to the test, you know, and I think if I can do that at least once a week, I mean, I'm okay with that because I thoroughly believe that staying consistent with shooting is also part of just being a good shooter. And everyone here knows, like, we've all taken like 2, 3, 4 weeks off at one time and you're like, you come back and you're like, oh my God, like I feel like I'm moving in the Matrix in slow motion. So. Once a week, man, at least.
Yeah, that's the goal, right? I mean, if I could get myself, I'm lucky because I do this as a business as well on the side. So, uh-huh. I mean, I'm shooting 3 or 4 days a week, which has really only started this last year, which, you know, it's made a world of difference for me. But I dry fire every single day. It could be for 3 minutes. It could be, you know, 2 minutes in the morning before I leave. I handle a firearm every single day, just some kind of visualization of something, just a little bit of something, some draws out of the holster, just for when I walk out the door, it's familiar, but that's not, you know, I don't have this whole elaborate scheme set up. It's usually pictures of, people on the walls and things like that. So we're, sometimes at night, my wife is watching the, whatever show she's watching on TV and I'm shooting everybody on the TV. She thinks I'm out of my mind. So. But hey, one last question for everybody before we get going. Typical range sessions for you guys, what's it look like? You know, on top of that, what does training mean to you? What does it look like to you in your world for you, not for you training other people? So Ryan, you go first on that one. So what do you think? Like, what does training look like to you? And what's a typical session look like for you?
Training to me, it's gotta be realistic. I haven't seen one OIS where officers just standing there. It's a slow, methodical fire. It's got to be fast-paced, impulse shooting. My typical range day, I'll start out, I'll shoot some kind of cold standard to see where my baseline is. Then I'll use the data from shooting a match. I'll be like, wow, that distance partial really got me, so I'm going to work on that first. And then I'm going to work into basic shooting fast, of like track to A zone, different stuff like that. Stationary stuff at first, and then I'll get into movement, like a crawl, walk, run method is like the simplest way to put it. Start out slow, then build it up, and then by the end you should be hammering away. There's different drills I like to do, box drills, track to A zone, then movement, some bar hops, some hard transitions while moving, different stuff like that. My typical range session.
I got to practice all that stuff. We got Ben Stoker coming here in October, so I got to start practicing that stuff.
Yeah, he's coming up on me October as well. So that should be a good time. Yeah, my typical range session is usually around 200 rounds. Not super high, nothing crazy.
Mike, what about you?
So I always start with a cold start drill just to kind of see where I'm at, and just fundamental work. I'm just continuing to work on grip, and then I add a little bit of movement. So I'm not just standing there, staying still. Sometimes I'll add in some fitness, like bring a sandbag or something like that, just to see if my training in the gym is affecting me in a positive or a negative way. Especially as you gain more muscle, it requires more oxygen and you get tired easily. So I kind of test myself to see if it's doing, you know, me a disservice. But really, it's just a lot of fundamentals, cold start drill, and then I'll start adding in movement, whatever that looks like. I'll add in doubles, bill drills, yeah, stuff like that, just to kind of keep myself working on the trigger and working on the grip. I don't have a lot of time to be there. Like, I can't be there all day. So yeah, I have, usually it's like an hour or two max. So I just try to hammer it real quick, you know, get some data, see where I'm at, and then go about my day.
Jake, man, what about you these days?
So I do have some range sessions where I'm putting some serious rounds down range, and I have ones where I'm like two or, you know, sitting at 200 or 300 rounds. I'm a firm believer in low round count, high rep value. And I always balance three factors in like my own training. It's size of target, distance of target, and time. Literally every cold start we know, every standard we know, every qualification we know is surrounded around those three things. And those three things give me data. And data is how I find out if I'm improving, or if I haven't changed since last time, or if I need to go faster. Generally, like, I kind of do what Ryan does sometimes when it comes to like actually shooting whatever I have set up. I know what my baseline is. I know what I'm capable of, and I know I need to go fast in order to find failure. And I like to walk away from a range day failing, because if I went there doing stuff I know I could do, I didn't really do anything besides stay consistent. I didn't really make myself better. So I'm really a huge fan of like, okay, well, yeah, I know I can run a bill drill in 3 seconds. Let's start cooking it down to 1.5 or, you know, something.
I know you can go faster than that, Jake. I've seen you shoot.
Yeah, right. I don't know. But no, I know. Yeah. But yeah, I need to find failure. I need to balance those three factors. Because you can set up some really tormental stuff, balancing those, and then doing low round count, high rep value. I mean, by the end of most of my training sessions, I'm getting easy, you know, 35, 40 plus reloads in with both weapon platforms. And I'm only going through, you know, 200, 300 rounds. Yeah. So that's kind of how I like to do things.
I'll piggyback off that. So for me, when I'm actually putting it in a training session for me on the range, when I leave there, I leave there feeling like the biggest piece of shit on planet Earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if I leave there going, that was great. I didn't push hard enough. In our world, law enforcement, and that's why we're here today, is all those officer involved shootings that we watch, I watch them all. Every one of them is fast, it's violent, and most people don't stand still for the most part, like 99%. Everybody's moving. So for me, and it's something that I do in my classes, is I want you to shoot at a pace that you've never shot at before. I want you to shoot in a pace that's faster than life, that's faster than real life, faster than a real engagement would ever be. And if that's using a bill drill as an example, shoot it in 1.4 seconds if you can. You know, and there comes a part where, what happens when I miss? Good. It's failure. Right? Because then we track what we do. And we've learned that from before. Like you said, you have data from everything you've done before. Ryan in your matches, Jake from whatever drills you shoot, Mike, the same for you. But for me, I want to know where I can gear up and gear down. Right? I want to shoot that build drill at 25 yards in 1.7 seconds. Granted, we know what it's going to look like on a target. It ain't going to be pretty. But I want to shoot that same pace all the time. Because in real life, then, I have to slow down a little bit. And I don't like to use the word slow down ever. But for me, it's more control, right? I'll know at 25 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards that I have to exercise much more control visually, everything else fundamentally to put rounds on target and in an effective area. Because if I can do that at a good pace at 25 or 30, imagine what you can do at 5. I don't like to train close distances a lot. I've actually pushed in the last, call it this summer, I don't really shoot much up close anymore. Unless I'm in a class with somebody and I have people doing things. If it's on my own, 30 yards, 40 yards with a pistol, mm-hmm. shooting build drills with the fastest splits I could possibly shoot. I already know what it's going to look like on the target, but it's starting to get better. It's starting to be all rounds, you know, alphas and Charlies, as opposed to a mic here or there and a delta here or there, pushing myself. For me, training looks like failure. If I leave the range feeling good about myself, I feel like I didn't train hard enough. And I know, like you've said things about that, like working out, right? Yeah, you hit a PR, it feels great, but you're pushing yourself in different ways. We talk about jiu-jitsu all the time. If I go into jiu-jitsu and tap everybody out who's of my same level, what did I get out of it? I want to get my ass kicked by the best guys there. Because if I can survive 30 seconds with the best guy there, imagine how long you could survive on the road with some shitbag who's not trained. You know, so to me, training looks like failure.
Yeah, dude. Having data on you as a shooter is a serious confidence booster. Serious.
Oh, agreed. So. You couldn't be more correct about that one, big guy. So, guys, let's end it. Let's end it here. But before we go, give everybody where can we find you, Jake? You go first. So plug whatever you want. I know you have a couple businesses. So give your Instagram, give your businesses, and everybody hopefully will give you a follow.
So I'm a BazookaJake71 on Instagram and also Redline Consulting OH on Instagram. You guys, please feel free to message me about any questions shooting related. I'll help you out, give you my number, FaceTime you, do whatever the hell I have to do to make you better. So,
Ryan?
Instagram is Rywall with 2L's 43. Give me a follow. I'm traveling all over Michigan and I travel out of state as well, shooting USPSA or training. Don't be afraid to reach out. I can definitely give you some tips and pointers, just different stuff with competition aspect, just getting into it, but you learn really fast in USPSA, which is nice. So if you see me around, just don't be afraid to approach me and shoot me a couple questions.
I have a couple Instagram accounts, I think like too many, but it's Inc_monster with 2 R's. My DMs are always open. I've been answering questions about fitness, shooting, police stuff for years and years and years. Hit me up anytime. I get a lot of messages. I'll eventually get back to you. Always willing to help you. But if you do nothing else,
send him pictures of your feed. He loves that.
Yeah. I'll put them on Feed Finder, make money off it. If you do nothing else, the only thing I ask is you help me spread the word about the nonprofit that I'm starting called the Apollon Project. And the mission is basically you'd be able to go on our website, submit an application for training. We would review the training to make sure it's quality. And that goes back to our discussion about making sure that cops are taking quality training because we understand what quality training is. We would pay for the class and then you would attend. So it alleviates the worry of having to come out of pocket. It alleviates the worry of your having to get denied by your department. And it's any instructor, pretty much any class shooting, you want to take a jiu-jitsu class, you want to go to a medical class, whatever. There's no restriction on the type of training that you can take anywhere in the country. So there's other nonprofits that are doing something like that, but there's only a few instructors that you can train with. And it's very hard to get in. So hopefully this will alleviate that and grow big enough to where we'd like to do like grant funding for police departments. So if they need money for a canine program or, you know, whatever it is, equipment, hopefully that's something we can help with. So if you do nothing else, follow that. It's at the Apollon Project on Instagram.
That's awesome. That sounds like a great thing. All right. Well, we'll end that here. Thank you guys for coming on, man. I really appreciate you all being here. Jake, Ryan, thank you guys for jumping on the Zoom. Mike, for being here.
Of course.
You guys all be safe. And if any of us could ever help anybody out there looking for firearms training, fitness, whatever it is, And if anybody's looking for the best drive-in movie theater ever, go to Ohio. It's awesome.
All right, that's right, buddy. I'm real triple driving.
I can't wait to go there with Mike. All right, you guys. Have a good one, man. Be safe.
All right. Have a good one, man.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey guys, check out our upcoming training at streetcop.com. Don't forget, we have 50 instructors nationally teaching a variety of topics. These are the best classes you're going to experience in your career. We make sure of it. You're going to love it. I guarantee you, you're going to be thankful that you went. Check us out at streetcop.com for all upcoming classes in your area.